scripture come to mind, and it's in John, and it's in the really intimate discourse that Jesus has with his disciples before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says, I've called you friends. I've called you friends. And he is so gracious, and he's so good, and he's so kind. And I just want us to remember this morning that Jesus is our friend. And so if you've come in here, I don't know what kind of week you've had, or you're feeling frazzled, maybe you're not feeling well, maybe you're feeling condemned, you feel like God's far away. It's not true. It's not true. He is with us, and we can come to the throne room boldly to find, to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our need. So, Lord, we just thank you that your name is Emmanuel, that you are God with us, and, Lord, that you've called us friends. And, Lord, I pray today that we would encounter you in this service as our friend, that you would encourage, that you would teach, that you would guide into truth, and, Lord, that we would encounter you truly in your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Amen. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. We're going to sing 5. Christian knew who you really are. The beauty, the wonder, the depth of what you did for us on the cross. Love Psalm 130. With you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are greatly feared. Lord, I love a good thunderstorm. And there's something about the thunder that just is like, whoa. It's a holy fear. And Lord, that we need that once again, that holy fear. A good way. Not that you're going to hit us over the head, but you're holy. And you're so high and lifted up. Psalmist says the God of glory thunders. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that again we would get a fresh glimpse of who you are. You know, every need that is represented here this morning, every need for healing, every need for comfort, every need for deliverance, every financial need, Lord, you know all of those things. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus for Louise Rogers, friend of the Kirks, gallbladder issues. We just speak peace to Louise and that gallbladder. We say spasm, stop, and just wholeness. Any stones in there, that they would just go in Jesus' name. And we bless Louise. Lord, your word says that where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray, Lord, for a turning to you. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to have mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the promises in your word, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. We have a lot of people traveling in our congregation today, and so, Lord, we pray traveling mercies for them. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we ask you to have mercy. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us as a people. We pray, Lord, for a turning to you. We pray the prayer of Jesus that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We offer them up to you as worship unto you. We pray you'd bless the offerings and you would bless the givers, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the doxology, if you're able. Lesson is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
There is a fountain filled with blood. redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Lord Jesus, I just come to you today. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I pray, Lord, for the words to say, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Sermon when you're in the pit, and out of the depths. feel like I'm drowning. And it just feels like you've got everything going on, and you're just, feels like you're swamped. And I think if we were honest, most of us would say we've been there, we felt that. And this psalmist is saying, Lord, out of the depths, I cry to you. I'm overwhelmed. I feel just like things have, it might be financial issues. It might be health issues. It might just be, just you feel like you're being crushed and overwhelmed. The disciples in the boat, Jesus is in the boat with them, and yet they cry out, Jesus, don't you care if we are drowning? The water is coming in, and we feel like we've been swamped. What do you do out of the depths when you, what do you do? What's the answer for us when we feel like we're drowning and we're in the depths? I want to look at four different things. So there's a whole lot more. But as I've prayed about that and I sat down 2 weeks, so there were four things I felt like Holy Spirit highlighted to me of what we may feel overwhelmed in. Out of the depths, I cry to you. The first one of those things, depths that we may feel, is maybe we feel trapped in sin. We have sin cycles. There are some of us that we have, it might be an addiction to pornography. It might be an addiction of any kind, but it may be cycles of anger. And we're just stuck in sin, and we just can't get out. And it leads to my second point, and then we're stuck in cycles of shame. Sin and shame. There are things that have been done to some of us that we might feel so shameful that we just feel not worthy and we just hide. We just feel like God is mad at us, he hates us, and we hide. We're stuck in these cycles. We're stuck in shame. And the good news is Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. If we are stuck in sin, no matter what sin it is, there's a beautiful story. It's told in Luke chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there. Luke chapter 7. Starting verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, she was, we're going to learn more about what a woman of the city might mean. But behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. There are no words that I can tell you because this is not... This is so out of our culture. What this woman did for Jesus was so incredibly inappropriate. That was so inappropriate for her to let down her hair, to kiss his feet, and that was so, that was incredibly inappropriate. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, and say it out loud, he's thinking it, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40. And Jesus answering him, he knew his thoughts, he knew what he was thinking. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one who owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, he acknowledged it, she's a sinner, her sins are many, her sins are forgiven, for she loved much, story into detail in that story again. But that woman, it says Jesus had to go through Samaria. And it wasn't because it was the quick way. It was because he had a divine appointment with us. It was kind of out of his way to go there. But he came, and this woman is there to draw water at noon. You don't draw water at noon when it's hot in the desert. That woman was there because she was ashamed. That woman was there because she was avoiding people. And Jesus began a dialogue with her and offering her living water. He knew everything about her. Stuck in cycles of sin. We're stuck in cycles of shame. Jesus wants to be with you. He loves you. Some of us are just stuck in places of darkness. We are oppressed. We are depressed. And it feels like just being crushed by darkness. Psalm 107, I love Psalm 107. There are so many beautiful promises Psalm 107. I want to read a few of these. Psalm 107, verse 10. It says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in afflictions and in irons. Just want to think, it can mean literal. In this day and age, it could have been literal. But for us in our day, it's a metaphor. And probably don't know anybody suffering literally prisoners in affliction and in irons. But I would say most of us know people that are in addiction, that this is their emotional, mental, spiritual state. This is what they're like. This is where they are. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in afflictions and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. They're walking in absolute rebellion. Verse 13. But then they cried to the Lord in their help, in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. We sang about that in Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. The blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. There is victory for those that are in rebellion. There's victory for those that are suffering and in darkness. It's through repentance and the blood of Jesus. He brought them out. He burst their bonds apart. Verse 15 of Psalm 107. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. I'm going to go on because it's such a good promise. Verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. We know people like that too. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. There are sin cycles. There are shame cycles. There's also places of darkness, deep darkness, that some of us deal with, that our loved ones deal with, and we've prayed with them, and we just don't see anything happening. But I'm here to tell you there is a power in the blood of Jesus and people being filled with the Spirit. Last week was Pentecost. There's power, and he wants it to come through us, through each one of you. We've made church just about coming to, you know, hearing one sermon and that's it. But it's so much more than that. Church is a place to come and be built up and encouraged and filled up so we can go out. Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth. Places of darkness. And there are also, what depths do we find ourselves in? Sin, shame, depression, oppression, addiction. The fourth one, and this is an important it right now, and that is offense and anger and bitterness. I'm going to read to you some verses about offense. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to exhort a little bit on this. This didn't hit me until this morning as I was going through and just praying and looking at, again, at my notes and the scriptures that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. Hebrews chapter 11. Somebody tell me what Hebrews 11 is known for. What is Hebrews 11? It's the faith chapter. It's famous. It's like the faith hall of fame. You've got all of these beautiful things of faith. Beautiful. Hebrews 11 talking about faith. Abraham. Just this whole hall of fame. And then you come to Hebrews 12 and it says, therefore, as after it's talking about all these amazing people and how they had faith and they stood, some of them did fail, but what's so cool about Hebrews 11 is most of them did fail, but you know what's recorded about them? The good things that they did. Did Abraham win all the time? Did he always walk by faith and not fail? No, he failed. He was discouraged. But yet, in Hebrews 11, it looks like it's just so fun how the Lord said, look at what they did. And he focused on the good. And you come to Hebrews 12, and it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's press on towards the goal. Let's keep going. Don't be discouraged. Look at all these men and women in the past and how they had hard things, but they trusted in the Lord and they kept going. And then it's in that context, that the writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. It goes on, but I just want to focus on that right there. See to it that no root of bitterness. There's a lot of ploys of the enemy, but I would say one of them, top five, would be he wants to plant seeds of bitterness in your heart. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to be angry, because when we take offense and we're angry, you all, that shuts us off from the grace of God, and it poisons everybody around us. See to it that no one, you don't let a bitter root grow up in your heart. If that's true about us, that's been true in my life in the past, what do? If you've taken offense, somebody has hurt you, they've really hurt you. They were in the wrong, and they hurt you. What does Jesus have to say about that? If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's serious. The prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Wow. Wow. If you're not forgiving and you don't forgive other people, God is not going to forgive you. That is incredibly serious. We are living, let's just say it this way. In my lifetime, some of you lived through the 60s, I didn't, so it may have been worse, but in my lifetime, I've never seen our nation in more turmoil, with more hatred that's going on, and it's a ploy of the enemy. Why? would start my mind, and this is the enemy, replaying what that person had done, and then thinking about, like, things that weren't even real, you know? Like, well, this person's probably doing this and this and this. And it's accusing thoughts, and it's straight from the pit of hell that the enemy will put in your mind. And so I would be thinking those things, and I would catch myself doing it, and I'd be like, stop, in the name of Jesus. And I named the name. Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, I forgive them in Jesus' name. And every time I would think it, and I would, fortunately, I live alone. I can do that out loud. But you guys, it's a good thing when you catch yourself going down that right, like stop yourself. No, I forgive them. I forgive them. Because I want to be like that woman in Luke 7 that just comes and I want to know. And if we really, really knew the extent of what we've been forgiven of our own sins, well, it would be a whole lot easier to forgive them. Because we can only give out what we receive. And so we need to stay at the cross, stay there, receive his love, receive his forgiveness. Because if we're watching the news and we're not, I won't even talk to you much about that, because it's all, what is it? It's all a bunch of just yelling and accusing and hatred. And if you watch a lot of that, you're always going to get in your spirit. And we need to just know. Turn on some worship music. Get you a good podcast where you're listening to good biblical sermons. And forgive. Remember what Jesus has done. We want to get out of these cycles of offense and unforgiveness. Those are just a few of the things that where it feels like we're in the deep, where we feel like we're being overwhelmed. We get overwhelmed with our own sin. We get overwhelmed with shame. We get overwhelmed with maybe depression and darkness. And we get overwhelmed with offense, anger, and bitterness. And when we feel that way, and the psalmist says it in verse 2, what is it we feel like about God? What do we think about God? Verse 2 of Psalm 130 is actually the second part of verse 1. Oh Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. When we are in those places, we tend to feel like God's forgotten us, that he's far away. God, hear me. God, be attentive to my voice. Answer me. And that's what is the cry of his heart. Again, I love the Psalms because it gives voice to what we feel. It's okay to be this honest with God. If we're angry, tell him about it. If we have offense in our heart, tell him about it. And he wants us to be honest with him. Healing starts when we're honest. And the psalmist is like that. And yet, what is God like? And I love verse 3, because we tend to be really judgmental toward other people and really gracious toward ourselves. But in verse 3, the psalmist says, if you, O Lord, should mark or remember iniquities, Lord, who could stand? None of us could stand. None of us. God's given up on me. I've done so much. He can't possibly love me anymore. If we're an orphan, we don't think we're worthy. We want to hide. We believe lies about our Father. But if we really are, and we really believe that we are His sons and His daughters, we are not ashamed to come. Lord, I've messed up again. I'm so sorry. Judgment is on our nation right now. And you kind of see His hand being pulled back and the lines being drawn. Are you for me or are you against me? And I feel like Jesus is saying to us today, I want to gather you, but will you come? Will you come? Come to me. I want to gather you. Don't miss the day of your visitation. Don't miss it. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You all, that is who Jesus is. Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father comes to seek and save the lost. The heart of the Father wants a relationship with you. The heart of the Father sent His only Son to become a human being, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we could have a relationship, that right relationship restored. Thank you. save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Let's say it together. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Go ahead and open. Shake this really good, because peel off the first little piece here. And Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ broken for us. And Lord, we just receive by faith right now everything you died to give us, your life, not our pitiful attempts at life. But Lord, we need your life. Fill us up, God, as riches play. Fill my cup, Lord. Yes, God, we pray that. Yes. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your life. We receive that by faith. Take, eat. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives all of our sins, that heals all of our diseases. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood availed for me. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the cleansing.